Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We open up today's Gemara essentially in the middle of a discussion. We had been discussing in our previous shiur the issue of Efshir Litzamtzem Bidei Odom. Is it possible to be exact when it comes to measuring and quantities that are a function of human involvement? This is a result of the Mishnah that spoke about a non-human involvement case of two firstborn, a twin first birth, are both given to a Kohen or not. We saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said both are given to a Kohen. The Chachamim said, E. Efshir Litzamtzem. The Gemara, in our previous shiur, mentioned that as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, who says that something that's bidei shamayim, something that's a natural result, where there is no intent to be exact, so there the Rabbanon will hold e efshir litzamtzem, that exactness is not achieved. The question that we had been dealing with is, what is the shita sochomen when it comes to something bidei odom, where there's human involvement, either in making something or in measuring something? At this point, the Gemara says, the second line from the top of Daf Yud Ches, the last word on the line, Neimo Ketanoi. Before going further, just note that this is a question, and a long question, as the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending dashed vertical line indicates the length of the question. Should we say, Neimo Ketanoi, should we say that this issue of Efshir Litzamtzem is a Machlokes Tanoim? And the source that is presented in the Gemara deals with a topic that we had alluded to in our last year, also in a source. This regards the murder victim that whose body is found between two cities. Is found between two cities equidistant from each city. In the case that a murder victim is found in the outside, and we don't know who the murderer is, so we measure to the closer city, we measure in order to determine which city is closest to this corpse, and that city brings an eglo arufa. This is a ceremony that serves as an atonement for the fact that a murder took place. It's not an atonement for the murderer, but it's for the fact that a murder took place. So now, the source says, Nimsa mechuvan bein shtei ayaros. If you found a corpse, a murder victim, equidistant between two cities, lo hoyu orphan, there would be no Eglo Arufa ceremony. This is the ceremony where a calf is brought to a certain area outside of the city and its neck is broken. Of course, this has nothing to do with sacrificial activity in the Beis HaMikdash, but nevertheless, it's a ritual that affords, we'll say, temporary atonement. In the case that the corpse is found equidistant between two cities, so the first opinion in this source says there would be no Eglo Arufa ceremony. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shtehen Mevios Shtei Eglos. Both cities will bring a total of two Eglos. In other words, according to Rabbi Elazar, the ceremony continues. The unique feature here is that each city brings its own Eglo Arufa. My Lav Beho Kamifli. What must be the point of contention? The Tanakama Sovar E. Efshir Litzamtzem. The Tanakama, who says there is no ceremony, it's because it's impossible to measure
an exact equidistant between the two cities, and therefore you're not going to do the Egla Rufa, because each city will say, well, I'm not the closer one. And since we can't be exact in our measures, the argument between the two cities will continue, so to speak, and no one's going to bring it. Rebbe Lezer Sovar Efshel Tzamtzem. And Rebbe Lezer says, both bring it, is because our measuring can be exact, and it will reveal that both are literally equal distant. And therefore, both cities are obligated to bring, and no one city can argue to the other the other one is the closer one. The Gemara now asks, if this really is the analysis of the Machlokes Tanoim, then we are going to run into a problem. In other words, the Gemara at this point is going to reject the attempt to say that the issue of Efshel Tzamtzem is this Machlokes Tanoim. V'tisbara, this answer demands an explanation. E kosovar Tanakama, e Efshel Tzamtzem, if the Tanakama is truly of the opinion that you cannot be exact, amai lo hoyu orfin, why is it so that there is no ceremony that takes place whatsoever? The following alternative would make more sense. Yaviu eglo achas b'shutfis v'yasnu. They should, between the two of them, partner up and bring one egla and make a conditions, namely that if we are the closer one, then your chelek in the egel belongs to us, and if you are the closer one, then our chelek in the egel belongs to you. That would have been a reasonable solution. Ella, rather, the analysis of this source is the kule alma lahani tanoi. Everyone will agree, according to these tanoim, efshir letzamseim, you can be exact. In other words, not only Rebbe Lezer says you can be exact, but the Tanakama also says you can be exact. And the measure, in fact, revealed that they were both equidistant, exactly. So the question then is, why does the Tanakama say no ceremony? V'hocha b'kroiva v'lo kroivois komiflegi. The word krova comes from the pasuk. The pasuk says that the ear that's krova lecholol, krova meaning closer to the corpse, they bring. The question is, does krova mean literally in a singular, it appears in a singular form grammatically, so is it literally the closer one and not two close ones? Or the word krova, can it mean close ones in the plural as well? The Hocha, once again, the Kroiva v'lo Kroivos komifliki. The Tanakama, Sovar, the Tanakama says there would be no ceremony. They are of the opinion, Krova v'lo Krovos. The fact that Torah chooses the word in the singular, the word Krova, is telling us that the ceremony takes place only when one city is the closest city. However, the ceremony will not take place when two cities are equidistant from the corpse. The Torah that speaks about the Eglo Arufa ceremony is saying that it will take place even if two cities are equidistant from the corpse and they represent the closest cities to the corpse. My Havi Allah. Here at this point, the Gemara asks, well, what is the psak? What should we do? What's the final approach to this issue? Omar Rav Chiya bar Ovin, Omar Rav Amram, Tana. We have a Tanaic source. Nimtza mechuvan bein shtei ayorois. Rabbi Lezer Omer shtehen mevios shtei eglois. We have seen this before. The Rabbi Lezer says they will bring two eglois in the corpse found equidistant between two cities. V'chachomim omrim yoviu eglo achas b'shutfis v'yasnu. This is the first time we're seeing this in a Tanaic source. The Chachomim, who disagree with Rebbe Lezer, hold one is brought. This is obviously a different Shitas Chachomim than we saw earlier. This Chachomim is holding that an Eglo is brought and a Tnai is made. My Kosavri Rabbonon. What opinion do the Rabbonon reflect here? E Kosavri Rabbonon de Efshel Tzamtzem. If the Rabbonon hold that you could in fact be exact, ukroiva v'afilu kroivois, and they would hold that the word krova is not limited to one, but it can mean the two closest cities who happen to be equidistant from the corpse. Well, then lysitarti, then two should be brought. The e krova velo krovos, and if they hold efshul itzamtzem, but krova is literal, meaning in the singular, to the exclusion of two, then afilu chado lo laisi, because then even one eglo should not be brought, because in such an event that you can be exact, and we find two cities are equidistant, and they represent the closest cities of all others, and they hold krova is to the exclusion of krova, so then you can't bring any, can't bring even one. Elolav, shma mino, kosavri rabbonon. So it rather must be that these rabbonon hold e efshir letzamtzem, that you can't be exact. Vafilu bidei odom, shma mino. So that the chumum hold, you can't be exact even when it is an issue involving human involvement. In this case, human involvement vis-a-vis the measuring. And yet people cannot be relied upon to achieve a perfect measure. And therefore, only one of the two cities is really the closer one. And hence, the solution is they bring one egel and they make a tanai. They make a condition that even though it's bought jointly, the city who's truly the closer one will be considered the total owner of this. Other city foregoing their share in this animal. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hakohen Borer Lo Es Hayofet. We had seen Rabbi Tarfon in our Mishnah given a twin birth. Two males are emerge at a twin birth, and following in the Shitas Chachomim that you don't give both to the Kohen, so what do you in fact do? What are you supposed to do? So Rabbi Tarfon says, the Kohen chooses the better one. My time with Rabbi Tarfon, what is the reason for that? Kosovar, he's of the opinion, Hahu debori nofak bereisha. The healthier one, in this case the Yofet, the better one, it is the one that emerged first. Rashi points out, the Meroiv Briusoi, because of its increased health level, Kidam es Ochiv, it preempts its brother. Rabbi Akiva Omer Meshamnin. Omar Reb Chiya bar Abon Reb Yochanan. Hakohen noitel kushav. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Kohen will take the leaner of the two, the weaker of the two animals. Omar Le Reb Chiya bar Abba Le Reb Yochanan. A moment ago, Reb Chiya bar Abba was quoting Reb Yochanan. Here, Reb Chiya turns to Reb Yochanan and asks, Voanan mishamnin beinehem tanan. How can you, Rabbi Yochanan, say that he takes the leaner of the two animals when the Mishnah, when quoting Rabbi Akiva, mentions Mishamnin Beinehen? Now, in asking this question, there's a certain supposition made that the word Mishamnin indicates a type of evaluation and average that's made. The Rashi explains the upper part of the narrow lines, V'hom Mishamnin Tanan, D'mash Mamashi Yofe B'shumon Mechavero, the better one, the fatter one, the Oison Domim Yachloku. In other words, there's an evaluation made. How much better is the better of the two? So that difference in amount is split between the Kohen and the owner. Why then do you, Rabbi Yochanan, say that as a result of Mishamnin, the Kohen takes the weaker one? Seeming to indicate that your understanding of Mishamnin is something other than we just suggested. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan responds, and here's a long answer. You'll notice we have a long answer marking the tuf that you see encircled to meet the right-hand side of the Gemara in a descending vertical dashed line. Omar Le, Ad Achlis Kafnaisa Bebovel, while you were eating dates in Bovel, it's an expression, maybe you might say, of an offhanded nature, that while you were daintying yourself in Bovel, we were working hard on this issue. Targimna mi seifa. We explained it based on the seifa, the katoni seifa. Ha meis echad mehen. In the case of, we mentioned a twin birth, but one of the two died, and the question is, did the bechor die or the other one die? Rabbi Tarfon oimer yachloiku. The kohen and the owner will split the surviving animal. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Hamoitzi Mechavairoi Olov Haraya. The Kohen is the one who's trying to extricate, acquire the animal from the owner's Rishus. He's called the Motzi, the one who takes out Mechavairo from his friend. And the rule Rabbi Akiva quotes is that one who wants to change the status or the current position of the animal, it's upon him to bring proof, and in this case it would be upon the Kohen to bring proof that the surviving animal is in fact the Bechor. In the absence of the Kohen's ability to do that, the owner will keep it. Ve'i salka daitoch mishamnin beinehem means d'chi hadodi pligi. If, as you thought to say, that mishamnin means that both of them have a chelek in both of the animals. But to go over this point in greater detail, if there were two male firstborns, and we were to accept mishamnin, meaning take the average, so to speak, which in effect meant that the Kohen and the owner were joint owners in both of the animals, in the poor animal and in the better animal. And we said that the difference in value between the poor, the lesser animal, and the better animal, that difference in value would be split between the two of them, the Kohen and the owner. Now, if that would be the case, and as we said, that would be an outgrowth of holding that they, the Kohen and the owner, are joint owners in both of the animals. And simply stated, the better quality animal, that extra value, being that they are joint owners in that animal as well, that value is split. So, based on this analysis that you were suggesting, that they are considered joint owners in both animals, hocha nami, so to hear in the seifa case where one of them died, liflegi gabi hadoti, let them split the value of the surviving animal. And yet, that's not what Rabbi Kiva says. Elomai mishamnin, what must the word mishamnin of the resha mean? Shumon yehe beinehem. Shumon, or literally the fats, should be a point of discrepancy, we'll say. The Omar Le Kohen, the Israel, says to the Kohen, Aisi Raya de Bechor Hu Ushkil. You want to claim the better one as the Bechor, so you bring a Raya that it's the better one and take it. And if in the absence of that, you will take the weaker one, and I will keep the better one. So that Rabbi Akiva's approach to the Mishnah is a consistent Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. And therefore, in the ratio where there were two animals, we say that the Kohen who wants to get the better animal, so he'll have to bring proof to that. And if he can't, he takes the Kochush. In the Seifa, maintaining Hamotzi Mechavir Varaya as the analysis, where there's only one animal, once again, the burden of proof is on the Kohen, who is called the Motzi Mechavir, and he'll have to prove that the surviving animal is the Bechor in order for him to get it. The Gemara continues. V'hasheni yireh ad shistoev, the animal that remains in the possession of the Yisrael. Our Mishnah teaches shall graze until it gets a mum. Yistoev means until it develops a mum. And it will be chayev in matonas. Matonas are a tithe that is given to a kohen from a chulin animal, from a chulin shechita. So just to review the case once again, we're dealing with a twin birth, and the kohen takes one animal, and the Yisrael keeps the other animal. We saw Rabbi Tarfon saying the Kohen takes the better animal, and we saw Rabbi Kiva saying that the Kohen takes the poor quality animal. Now, the animal that remains in the Reshus of the Yisrael, it is set aside to graze till it gets a mum, because don't forget, we're dealing with something that is a sofek b'chor. And as such, the Yisrael can't just slaughter it and eat it outright, because if it happens to be the b'chor, it is really to be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Being that we don't know exactly what it is, so we say the animal that the Yisrael keeps, it represents the non-Bechor, so to speak, but nevertheless it has to graze till it develops a blemish. At that point, it wouldn't be fit to be brought as a korban, and when it's eventually shechted, after it develops a blemish, the matonas kahuna, the zroah l'chayva keva, shall be separated from it. The zroah, the arm, the l'chayim, the cheek, and the keva, the stomach. Those are the limbs and organs given to the kohen. And in that context, Rabbi Yossi poter, Rabbi Yossi exempted. The Gemara now goes over these shitos. My time to Rabbi Meir. Why is it that Rabbi Meir holds that the animal is chayav in matonis? The animal, the twin that remains in the possession of the Yisrael, must be tithed. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, hoil v'koyin ba'olov mishnei tzadin. The reason for the necessity of the Israel to tithe it is because the Kohen can approach him from two angles. The Omale, the Kohen, can argue to the Israel, E Bechor, who, if what you are holding on to is in fact the Bechor, then Kulei Didi Hu, then the whole animal is rightfully mine. E Lo Bechor Hu, if it's definitively not a Bechor, then it's a Behemas Hulin. It's a regular, mundane, common animal. Havli Matonos Mine. Then you should be giving me the Matonos in accordance with the rules of a Behemas Hulin. The Rashi adds a little point here, and we're looking at Rashi little less than halfway down the page. The Kohen, in his arguments, says, "I b'chor hu kulei didi." If the animal that you are holding on to, in fact, is the b'chor, then the whole animal is mine. V'hai d'shokil ano, on the animal that I took, havi chulin, would be common, meaning it's not really something due to me. Hadarno le nihaloch, and I will return it to you, v'shakilno matonos mine, and I will get the matonos from this animal that I would have to return to you. So as a result of the Kohen's ability to approach the Israel from two angles, Rebbe Meir, who is the Tanakama of the Mishnah, concludes that there is, at the very least, a matona obligation from the animal that the Yisrael keeps. Rabbi Yossi Maitaima, Rabbi Yossi mentions there's an exemption, what's the basis? Oma Rova, Osu She'enoi Zoiche Kezoiche, V'afagav de lo moto liyodei de Kohen, Shavinu Rabbonon kemande moto liyodei V'zavnei liYisrael b'mumei. We read a lot of words there, but the explanation will be accomplished most effectively by learning the Rashi. Rashi, Dibor Masel, Osu She'enu Zoiche Kezoiche. Afopi Shelo Zocha Kohen Beheich. Even though the Kohen didn't actually take possession of the animal in the Rishus of the Yisrael, that the Yisrael keeps, the Holo Moto Liyode Me'olam, it never arrived in his hands, the Yisrael simply kept it. Asu'uhu, it is viewed as ki'ilu zochobo. It's as if it came to the rishus of the kohen. Hoyol omeikora havashaycho beyad kohen. Since at the outset the kohen had a relevance to this animal, the shemodi dehu, because it might in fact be his. It might be the bechor. As a result of this, shavua rabbonon. The animal that remains in the Rishus of the Israel is viewed in our mind's eye, in the eyes of the Halacha, as if it reached the Kohen. Rashi continues, V'zovin le l'Yisrael b'mumei, V'hodar shakle li'ido chilufei, and the Kohen, in effect, took the animal that he actually has right now as payment in exchange for the animal that the Yisrael is keeping. So that the animal that the Yisrael is keeping in our mind's eye really went on a round trip. It went from the Yisrael in our mind's eye to the Kohen. And it did that as it being a Bechor. We don't know for sure, but our analysis is considering it as the Bechor. And then the Kohen parted with it, returning it to the Israel in exchange for the animal that the Kohen himself retains. But as a result of this analysis, we come to the following conclusion. U'Bechor Shemochroi Kohen Yisrael, a Bechor that a Kohen sells to Israel, Potter Min Hamatonos. It is exempt from the matona tithe altogether. So that what we're saying is that the Kohen is not really bo olav mishnei tzadim. The Kohen, when he approaches the Yisrael, we're basically saying that the animal that the Yisrael has went through this round trip legal process, exempting it, thereby completely exempting it from the tithe requirement. Continuing in the Gemara, we notice a marking, a diamond appears, and we're calling this number one. In the outside margin of the room, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, featuring a diamond around the expression HaKol Moedim. Chiyuv Uptur Matonis. The Gemara will discuss the issue of these Matonis, the tithing that one is either obligated or exempt from separating. One, Besafek Bechor. She'ein chilufov biyad kohen, and the case of besafek maisris, which is dealt with on Amud Beis. This expression she'ein chilufov biyad kohen, we just made an allusion to that, where in the case of a twin bechor birth, the animal that the kohen received. Is in effect an exchange for the animal that was given to the Kohen and returned to the Yisrael, returned in exchange for that which the Kohen has. That's called Chilufov Biyad Kohen. So just to repeat that last point,
the animal that the Israel is holding onto is an animal whose exchange value or exchange equivalent is in the hands of a Kohen. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Belozer, Hakol Moidim, everyone will agree, Besafek Bechor She'ein Chalifov Biyad Kohen. This is an example when you have a male and female birth. The first birth is male and female. In such a case, the Kohen gets nothing. So there is no Chalifov Biyad Kohen. What happens when the male animal is slaughtered? As far as the female animal slaughtering, that's very poshit, that it's chayevus in matonas. It didn't even have a chance of being a b'chor. But the male animal in this twin birth, maybe it was born first before the female, but yet, as a result of the suffix, the Yisrael keeps the zohar as well. The owner keeps the zohar as well, the male animal. The Kohen did not receive anything in exchange. So Rabbi Lozer says that everyone will agree, not only Rabbi Meir, but even Rabbi Yossi, who prior to this had mentioned exemption of matonas, in this case, he'll be obligated to give matonas. Hakol Moidim Man, who's the Hakol Moidim in this comment made by Rabbi Lozer? The comment in the diamond. Who is that? So, Reb Yossi. It's Reb Yossi. The Gemara now raises questions. There's a back and forth, a give and take style of Gemara. How necessary was this teaching of Reb Elozer? How important was it for Reb Elozer to reveal to us that Reb Yossi would be mechayev in a case of a first birth involving Zohar and Nekeva, that there even the Zohar would have to be tithed? That would seem to be obvious even without Reb Elozer telling us this. The marking in the Gemara is featuring a volcano shape, geometric form, a trapezoid, flipping back and forth to give the feel of give and take in the discussion. So the Gemara raises a question. Pshita, ad kan lo kopata Reb Yossi hosom, Elo de Chalifin Biad Kohen. As far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, up till this point he only issued an exemption when the Kohen had received something in exchange for the animal that the Israel keeps. The Osu She'eno Zoche Kezoche, it was made legally as if the Eino Zoche, the Kohen, who didn't actually take possession of the animal that the Yisrael holds, is as if he did. And then, as we explained before, he sold it back. And as a result of that, all because of that legal mechanism, being a legally viewed as a Bechor Shemochroi Kohen Yisrael, that's why there's an exemption of Matonas. As we said before, a Kohen that was sold to a Yisrael by a Kohen is scripturally exempt from matonis. Avol, but on our own, we could have figured out ein chalifin biad kohen lo, if you wouldn't have had this situation. So there would be no matona exemption. And in the case of a first birth, twin birth, male and female, there the Yisrael keeps both animals, and the Kohen gets nothing. So that's an example of Ein Chalifa Biad Kohen. And under those circumstances, Rabbi Yossi never said his exemption. So the Gemara answers, Mahu Detema. Without Rabbi Lozer's comment that there would be a Chiyuv Matonas according to Rabbi Yossi as well, I would have thought as follows, Mahu Detema. Taimo de Rabbi Yossi's exemption from Matonis, the Kosovar, because he's of the opinion, the Mechaivis, Leib Matonis, if you would have obligated the animal in Matonis, people would think that it's a true Chulin animal, the animal that the Yisrael maintains. And Osi Lei Lidei Gizov Avoido, the Afogav, the Ein Chalifin,
biad kohen nami. Our fear being, according to this supposition, according to the, we'll call it this answer, the without Rebbe Lozer having told me that the animal kept by the kohen is chayav and matonis, I would have thought that there should be, that the reason for Rebbe Yossi's exemption from matonis is because if you were to obligate the animal in being tied, people think it's a full-fledged chulin animal, and they would come to shear it and work with it. And that svara would apply even in the case of ein chalifin biad kohen. And because of that svara, we would think to exempt it from matanas. Because if you would obligate it in matanas, people will come to work with it. And maybe it's a bechor, and it will be forbidden to shear it and work with it. So, Komash Malon, Rebbe Lozer is telling us that the basis of the p'tur of Rebbe Yossi is not because of what people might come to think, but rather it's a function of Chalif of Biad Kohen, and therefore the exemption will be limited to the case of the twin male birth, and it won't be extended to the case of the twin birth, male and female. The Gemara asks, Umi Motzis Amris Hochi, could you have even thought this, that Rebbe Yossi and his exemption is because of the chashash of coming to shear and work with it? And as a result of having had such a havamina, I therefore needed Rebbe Lozer. Mar says, no, v'hotani seifa, I never would have come to think that about Rebbe Yossi. Think that his concern is the chashash of Giza. It says in the Sefer, Shoyer Bosi Omer, Kol Shechalifov Biad Kohen Poter Menamatonis, Rabbi Meir Mechayev. So when does Rabbi Yossi say there is an exemption? And here we see in a Tanaic source that which we just read, and it had said Chalifin Biad Kohen in, when the Kohen retains an exchange animal, then the animal that the Israel keeps will be exempt. Ein chalifin biad kohen lo. And if there isn't something maintained or retained by the kohen, as is the case of the male-female twin birth, so there would be no thought to exempt them from matanas. So the question then is, comes back, what do I really need Rebbe Lozer for? Mahu detema. Well, without Rebbe Lozer, I would have thought, and you should take note that this is a long answer, and we've indicated that with the enclosed tuff that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Without Rebbe Lozer, I would have thought, Rabbi Yossi Lidvorov de Rabbi Meir Ko'omale, that Rabbi Yossi goes so far as to say, even in the case of Ein Chalifov Biad Kohen, there is exemption. And that which Rabbi Yossi spoke about Chalifov Biad Kohen, it's not to serve as a point of inference concerning Rabbi Yossi's own Shita, but rather it's Lidvorov de Rabbi Meir Ko'omale. It's Rabbi Yossi addressing Rabbi Meir thusly. L'didi, as far as I am concerned, afil ein chalifov biad kohen. Even without that, there should be an exemption from matonis, the mechayvesle v'matonis, because if you would obligate the kohen to separate the matonis, osi le lide gizavoda, then people will see that and they'll think that this kind of situation, it's a chulin gomor animal, and they'll come to shear it and work with it. This is all Rabbi Yossi reflecting his own opinion. However, as far as that which we saw in the sources, it wasn't Rabbi Yossi reflecting his own opinion. It was Rabbi Yossi addressing Rabbi Yehuda as follows. Lididcha, according to you, Odu li miha, hecha de chalif of biad kohen, you should at least concede to me that where the exchange animal is in the hands of the kohen, de osu she'eno zoche kezoche. And in such a case, you should concede to me that in that case, there should be an exemption of matonis. because it would be viewed as a bechor shemochroi kayin liyisrael. V'yomale Rabbi Meir loy, and Rabbi Meir would be coming to tell Rabbi Yossi that even so, I do not exempt it from Matonis. So now all of this was what I would have thought without Rabbi Lozer. And just to review the point again, I would have thought according to the source, without Rabbi Lozer's interpretation or his comment, I would have thought that Rabbi Yossi always patters from Matonis. Even Ein Khalif of Biad Kohen. I'll say it again, that I would have thought the Rabbi Yossi always exempts from Matonis. Hence, Komash Molon, Rabbi Lozer comes along to tell me that it's not true. Rabbi Yossi does not always exempt from Matonis, but rather only in a case where there's Khalif of Biad Kohen. Omar Rav Popo, Hakol Moidim, Besofek Meiser, Shepotor Min Hamatonis. So, what's the case of Sofek Meiser? So, we will look in Rashi. Rashi in our standard Gemaras is not found on this Omid. It's found out of place at the bottom of Yud Ches Omid Aleph. So, there Rashi says, Sofek Meiser, Kion Shekofatz Echod Min Hamusorin, Lusoichov. After counting the animals that march through a narrow passageway, and you count them 1, 2, 3, 4 until you get till 10. The animals that were counted prior to reaching 10, those are the animals that are considered one of the me'usorin. The tithe had been removed for them. So one of those animals jumped back into the rest of the as yet uncounted animals. In such a case, they are it is ruled upon them that they shall graze till they develop blemishes, and only then can they be eaten. So that's the case of the Sofek Meiser. So our Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Hakol Moidim B'Sofek Meiser, Shepotim Min HaMatonis, that all of the animals that this man owns will be exempt from Matonis. Hakol Moidim Man, who's this Hakol Moidim that everyone agrees that there will be a Ptur Matonis? When you see the expression Modim, it indicates someone who's departing what they usually say or what they've been known to say. So here, who is it that's going to be Moide, that's going to concede or accept this idea that there will be, in this case, an exception from Matonis? So the Gemara answers, after asking Man, who is the one that is alluded to in Hakol Moidim, answered Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, whom we have seen to hold that in a case of a Sofek, there is an obligation of giving Matonis, in this case, there is an exemption. Well, Pshita, it's obvious that Rabbi Meir would say there's an exemption. Ad kan lo komachayev Rabbi Meir hosam. Up till now, we know Rabbi Meir to be stringent and bind and require matonis. Elo besofek bechor. That's in the case of a sofek bechor. Hoyul ba'alov kohen mishnei tzadim. That's because the kohen has a two-pronged or can approach the owner from two sides, and thereby logically force him to give the matonis. Aval Sofek Meiser lo, but the case of Sofek Meiser, in that case, so Rabbi Meir would not have said that there is an obligation. So what do I need Rav Papa for? It would have been obvious to us. Once again, what would have been obvious? That in the case of Sofek Meiser, everyone would agree that there is a Matona exemption. Well, Mahu de Taima, I might have thought, without Rav Papa, Taima de Rabbi Meir, The reason for Rabbi Meir holding that there's a chiyuv matonis in the Sofek Bechor case, that the rule of giving matonis should not be forgotten. And as a result of that, even in the case of Sofek Meiser, Rabbi Meir would have been mechayev matonis, so that people wouldn't forget the rule of giving this tithe, the matonis, matnis behema, matnis kahuna. So, and as a result of that, even in the case of Sofek Meiser, so as to make sure people retain awareness of the matnas kuna requirement, so Rabbi Meir would have been mechayev. So Komash Malon, therefore Rav Papa comes to tell me that that's not the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir, namely the issue of Shalot Delot Tishkach Toras Matonis. Umi Motzis Amris Hochi, can you really say that the reason for Rabbi Meir in being mechayev matonis is this Shalot Tishkach? The closing part of the source says, Shoya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol She Chalifa Biad, Koyein Potter Min HaMatonis. Rabbi Meir Mechayev. And Rabbi Meir is Mechayev because the Koyein is Bo Olav Mishnei Tzodim. So you see over here that Rabbi Meir's Chiyuv of Matonis is based on this idea of Kohen Ba'al of Mishnei Tzodim. However, in the absence of that Taina, for example, in the case of the Sofek Meiser, where the Kohen doesn't have a two-pronged approach to get those Matonis, because on the Tzad that the animal was a Meiser Behema, not just a tithed animal, but it was the actual Meiser Behema, so then the Kohen would not have any claim on it, because Meiser Behema is eaten completely by the Yisrael, the owner. So what do I need Rav Papa to tell me that Rabbi Meir would concede in the case of Sofek Meiser? Mahu detemo. Without Rav Papa, I would have thought Rabbi Meir afilu Sofek Meiser mechayev. The Rabbi Meir says that Rabbi Meir would hold there's a need to give matonis even in the case of Sofek Meiser, Shalot Tishkach Toras Matonis. And that which Rabbi Meir surfaces will say only in the case of, seemingly only in the case of Chalif of Biad Kohen, that is Lehodiach HaKoychoi de Rabbi Yossi, to show us how far Rabbi Yossi goes, the potar afilu hecha the kohen ba'al of mishnei tzodim. To show how far Rabbi Yossi goes, that even though the kohen has a dual claim from the owner, namely, if what you are holding is the bechor that this kohen gave back to you, so then then it's in effect a bechor, and I should have received it. And if it's not the bechor, then I get the matonis. So all of this is what I would have thought without Rav Papa, that Rabbi Meir is mechayev under all circumstances. And the reason that we featured the machloikis Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi with regard to the Sofek Bechor was to show us how far Rabbi Yossi goes in exempting. Komash Malon, therefore Rav Papa comes to tell us that Rabbi Meir will in fact exempt Sofek Meiser from Matonis, and that Rabbi Meir is not governed by the concern of Shalot Tishkach Toras Matonis. Before continuing in the sugya, let us glance at the outside margin under our No Say heading. We see that we have written Meis Echod Me Hasofek Bechoros. If one of the two twin birth firstborns died, we will see what we've already discovered in the Mishnah, the Machlokis Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. Here the Gemara will deal with that Machlokis. So the Gemara will first focus on Rabbi Tarfon. Meis echod mehen, Rabbi Tarfon omer yachloiku. In the Mishnah, it was taught that if one of them dies, so the remaining one will be divided between the Kohen and the owner. The Gemara asks, Amai Yachloku. Why is that the ruling that the surviving one is to be divided? Nechsi, why not look into this? Let's review just before we go any further. Rabbi Tarfon said that when there was a twin birth, the Kohen takes the better one. It was clear, as far as Rabbi Tarfon was concerned, before any of the animals died, and you had two firstborns, that the Kohen would take the better of the two. So when one of them dies, why not just continue with this frame of mind? And Nechsi, look into it. E Shomein Miss, if the better of the two is the animal that died, then De Kohen Hu, that was the Kohen's animal. V'hai de'iko, the animal that remains, de'bal habayis, that would be clearly belong to the Israel. V'i kochush mis, and if the weaker of the two animals, the leaner of the two animals, died, then de'bal habayis mis. It's the de'bal habayis' animal that died. V'ha de'iko bori de'kohen hu, and the healthy animal that remains, that is the animal that will go to the Kohen. Why the split of the remaining animal? Omar Rebbe Ami Chozar Boi Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, in fact, turned away from his original approach and goes to the approach that says that the Kohen and the Yisrael owner had a chelik in both of the animals. And when one of the animals died, so that was one of the jointly owned animals, the surviving animal is also a jointly owned animal, and hence they split it. Rabbi Kiva Oimer Hamotzi Mechaveroi Olov Haraya. The one who wants to take, namely the Kohen, is the one that wants to get an animal, so he'll have to prove that the surviving animal is the Bechor, otherwise he won't get it. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin featuring a triangle, as triangles appear in the Sugya. These are Hezberim B'mah Cholkim Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva. What are Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva arguing about? In other words, you have Rabbi Tarfon saying Cholkin, and we explained that was a result of his looking at it as a joint ownership, and Rabbi Akiva saying, no, it's not a joint ownership. So we have a couple of stages. The triangles show the stages in analyzing this machloikes. So Omar Rabbi Chiyo bar Abam Rabbi Yochanan, Moshel de Rabbi Tarfon, the Mahadover Doimeh, in an analogy to explain Rabbi Tarfon's Shita, what could it be compared to? L'shnayim shehefkidu etzel roye. If you had, in a general case, a general monetary matter case, two people entrusted their animals to a shepherd. In other words, two animals in the rishus of a shepherd. And one of the animals died, and we don't know whose animal died. Shemeiniach roye b'nehem umestalek. Well, the roye, in order to solve the problem, just places the surviving animal between the two of them and leaves, and they'll just divide the remaining animal. Rashi elaborates on this on the upper part of the narrow lines. Sheminiach roya oisa achas hanisheres bein shneim lechalko, to divide the remaining animal. Umestalek, and he leaves. In such a case, we don't have someone taking the animal out of the domain of the other. Both people, the owner and the shepherd, the two people had entrusted their two animals into an outside domain, the domain of the shepherd. Now, the Rashi fills in really the main point. How does this analogy help to shed light on Rabbi Tarfon's point in the Mishnah? Umasnisen nami dekom Rabbi Tarfon yachloku. The case of the Mishnah where Rabbi Tarfon said the Kohen and owner split, kagon sha'oisa sofek b'chor hachai, it's a case where that surviving Sofek Bechor, the surviving animal, Nimsar Leroya, was given to a shepherd, the Osi Balabayas V'Kohen Gabi Roe, where the owner and the Kohen approached the Roe, and say, well, each one claiming it's their animal. Deleka moitzi mechaver. You don't have here an animal being taken out of its known status. The surviving Safek Bechor is not in the domain of either the Kohen or the owner. It's in the domain of a shepherd. So under such circumstances, the solution is to split it. Let us now continue in the Gemara. Umashal Rabbi Kiva l'mahadover doyma. Rabbi Kiva, who said hamotzi mechaveru varaya, to what can this be compared? Le'echod shehifkid eitzel balabayis. A person entrusted his animal to an owner of animals. Shehamotzi mechaveru olav haraya. Well, in such a case, where someone had entrusted an animal amongst the animals of an owner, and one of the animals in the herd died, the owner, entruster claiming, it's one of your animals that died, not mine, and the Balabai is saying to the Mafkid, Baba is saying, no, the animal that died was the one that you entrusted to me. So in such a case, the Balabai is in possession of all the animals, and the Mafkid is trying to get it away from him. He'll have to bring a proof that it's one of the Balabai's other animals that died. Now, Rabbi Akiva then is saying that the circumstances are where the surviving animal was in the reshus of the balabayas, and it wasn't given to a ro'eh. And in such a case, the Kohen is coming from a weaker position. And hence, he is a motzi mechavero. He is trying to extricate an animal from its known status. So this, up till now, is Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba's presentation of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara now asks, Elo b'mai pligi? What are they arguing about? If it's as we just learned, Rabbi Tarfon is describing one circumstance, namely where the animal was entrusted to a roeh, and Rabbi Akiva is describing another circumstance, namely where the surviving animal was not entrusted to an outside domain. So what's the argument? Are you going to say that Rabbi Akiva polig bishnayim shefkidu etzel roeh sheminiach roeh umestalek? Would you say that Rabbi Akiva argues in that case, would disagree with the roeh leaving the animal and letting them leaving the animal to be divided? He wouldn't disagree there. He would agree. That's certainly not a case of motzi mechaver ol haraya. As we said before, once the animals were put into the domain of the roeh, an outside domain, so neither the owner nor the kohen are considered a motzi mechavero. Rabbi Tarfon polig be'echod shifkid etzel balabayis. Would Rabbi Tarfon disagree and maintain his position that you split the animal when it comes to that case of what someone entrusted by the balabayis? Of course not. Rabbi Tarfon would agree in such a case that he, the mafkid, is the motzi mechavero, and there's no splitting. Omar Rava v'itema Rav Popa. Hakol Moidim, everyone is in fact in agreement in these two cases. Everyone's in agreement. Shnaim Shifkidu Eitzel Roeh. Everyone, meaning Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, will agree that if you have two people that entrusted by the Roeh and one of the animals died, Sheminiach Roeh B'neim Mistalek, that the Roeh would leave the animal that survives and let them split it. And similarly, in the case of a Kohen and the Balabayas with a Safek Bechor that survived, that was entrusted to a Roeh, there would be no argument in that case. And in that case also there would be no argument that obviously the Kohen, as we applied the analogy, would be the Motzi Mechavero. He would have to bring a proof. And Rabbi Tarfon would never have said in such a case, Yachloku, Loi Nechloku Elo, Bechotzer Balabayas V'roya Kohen. This is a new case, a new special case. The animals were left basically in the domain of the balabais. And we have that surviving Safek Bechor is in the domain, the chotzer of the balabais, of the original owner of the animals. However, there's a shepherd that's a Kohen. And the shepherd Kohen is grazing, is in charge of, or oversees all of the animals of the balabais. And now it's concerning this case that Rabbi Tarfon will say Yachloku, and Rabbi Kiva will say not so. Rabbi Tarfon Sovar, Aknuye Komakni Le Bechatseroi. The owner gives a portion or a holding of his chotzer to the Kohen who is the Roeh. In other words, the Kohen becomes a joint owner in the domain of the balabais. The nicho le delasavid mitzvah b'mamone. The balabais wants to do a mitzvah with his real estate, with his property. What is the point? What is that meant? That the bechoros, the real bechoros, the known bechoros that are born as soon as they're born, the kohen would become the owner of those bechoros. And they would be raised in his domain, giving the balabais a mitzvah of being participant in the raising of a bechor. And as we said, this chotzer is like a chotzer shel shnehem, as far as Rabbi Tarfon is concerned. And therefore, the chotzer is like, the chotzer represents a situation like the roeh before. It's as if both entrusted the animal into this domain, this jointly owned domain, and therefore it's not a case of motzi mechavero varaya. It's rather like the case of something being entrusted into an outside domain, and therefore they split the animal, because the animal in effect is in a domain that's jointly owned. As the Gemara goes on to say, "V'havilei kishnayim shefkidu etzoroya meiniach roya b'neo m'mistalek." It's like if the animal is entrusted into an outside domain, or in this case, a jointly held domain, and it is to be split. Rabbi Kiva Sovar, Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, disagrees. He says, "Kevan di isle pseido," since the owner suffers a potential loss in such an arrangement, in an arrangement where the chotzer would be viewed as both of theirs, lo makni le meidam. The owner doesn't transfer any holding in the chotzer, in the property, to the kohen roeh. Therefore, the kohen roeh is an outsider. V'havi le ke'echot shifkid etzel balabayis. And it's no different than the case of someone who entrusted to the balabayis. In this case, the chotzer of the balabayis is exclusively his. And therefore, shamotzi mechavero olov haraya. The kohen in this case would be coming to take out of that domain. And therefore, he would have to bring a raya, that the surviving animal is the bechor. Otherwise, he won't get any of it. In the Nosei Mivneh heading, we introduce the Mishnah with a Roman numeral 1 and 2 that appear in the Mishnah. They're Mikrim Shaledos. They are cases of births. Shnei Rechelos Shalobichru, two sheep that had not born, given birth to any animals yet. That's one circumstance that will be analyzed. And a second circumstance, Echad Bichro VeEchad Lo Bichro. They're two sheep, but one had already given birth to a Bechor, the other not. So let us go through the cases in the Mishnah. Shtei Rechelos Shelo Bichru V'yoldu. Neither one has given birth yet. And now they each one gave birth. Shnei Zechorim, if each one gave birth to males, in other words, each one had a male birth, so two male births. No saying Shneihem L'Kohen. This is fairly obvious. Both go to the Kohen. Zochor Nekeva. If there is a male and female birth, one giving birth to a male, the other one to a female, so azochor l'kohen, that too is fairly obvious. The male is given to the kohen, as is in accordance with the halacha of bechor. Shnei zechorim unikeva echod. If there are two males and one female born between these two mothers, so we can say that there is definitely one bechor over here. Echad loy, ve'echod l'kohen. One of the males will be kept by the owner, because it might have been the second one born after a nekeva, but the other male will go to the kohen. Now, who gets what? So Rabbi Tarfon omer ha'kohen borer lo asiyofeh. The Rabbi Tarfon will say that the kohen chooses the better of the males, and Rabbi Akiva omer mishamnin beinehem v'asheni yirah shiyistoev. The Rabbi Akiva says that the kohen will take the lesser quality of the two, and the one that's retained by Yisrael will graze till it gets emum. V'chayov b'matonas. And the first opinion is that it will be chayav in the Zerah Chayim v'keva matnas kuna tithe. Rabbi Yossi poter. Rabbi Yossi says that there is no obligation of tithing from that animal that the Yisrael retains. Meis echod mehem, if one of them die, Rabbi Tarfon omer yachloku. So it's divided between the Kohen and the Yisrael. Rabbi Kiva omer hamotzi mechavero olav harayo. Another possible birth situation from the shnei recheli shel bichru is shtei nekevos v'zochar. Two females and a zohar. Three animals were born from these two parents. In other words, one was a twin birth. Oy shnei zohorim ushtei nekevos, or both were twin births, yielding a total of four animals, two males and two females. But we don't know which came from which first. Ein kan l'koin klum. In cases Dalit and Hay, the Kohen will get nothing. Because of the presence of two Nekevos, it leaves open the possibility that both first to emerge were in fact the females. Achas bichra v'achas lo bichra. V'yoldu. One mother had already bichra, given birth to a firstborn, and now the other one, this is its first birth. And what did they bear? Shnei zechorem. Two males, so echad lo v'echad l'kohen. One of them will be given to the kohen, the other one will remain with the owner. Rabbi Tarfon omer ha'kohen boras ha'yofeh. Rabbi Tarfon says the kohen will choose the better one. Rabbi Akiva omer mishamnin beinehem v'asheni yira ashi yistoev. Rabbi Akiva says that the better one is kept by the owner, and the other one will graze till it develops a mum, and then it can be eaten by the owner. V'chayav b'matonas, there will be a matona tithe obligation. Rabbi Yossi poter. Rabbi Yossi omer. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion kol shechalif of biad kohen poter min hamatonas. When the Kohen received something in exchange, so we say that the animal that the Yisrael got was an animal that really was in the Rishus of the Kohen and was then transferred back to the Yisrael, and as a result of that, it's a Bechor Shemochroi Kohen Yisrael, and that's exempt from Matonas. Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Rabbi Meir says that there is an obligation. Meis Echod Mehen, if one of them died, Rabbi Tarfonom Yachloku, and that it's divided, the surviving one is divided. Rabbi Kiva omer hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. Zohar nekeva, if a male and female were born from these two mothers, one was bichra and lo bichra, ein kan l'kohen klum, the kohen will get nothing. At this point, the Gemara explains, why do I need all of these Mishnayos with all of their case with their different cases? Utsricha, I need the different cases with the different Mishnayos. Namely, referring back also to the Mishnah Daf Yud Zayin. The E Ashminon Kamaisa, had we taught the case of the Mishnah Daf Yud Zayin with the Rachel Shiyoldo Shnei Zechorim, Bahu Koma Rabbi Akiva. There, Rabbi Kiva, maybe he said his position that the Kohen takes the weaker one, the leaner one. The Trei Mechado. There it's a case of two animals born from one mother. Aval Shtei Rechelim Shelo Bichru. But the case of that we saw in our most recent Mishnah of two mothers that had not given birth either one to any animals, and one of the mothers had a twin birth. There was two Zechorim and a Nekeva. The Trei Mechado, V'chad Mechado, where two were born from one and one was a sole birth, a singular birth. Emo modi le the Rabbi Tarfon. There, I would have thought that Rabbi Akiva would concede to Rabbi Tarfon the non-twin birth, the singular birth, that's clearly the higher quality animal. So that if you have the stronger, better quality male, I would have thought Rabbi Akiva will say that definitely goes to the Kohen, because that was part of the singular birth. V'yashminen ha. And had we taught this case, b'halkum Rabbi Akiva, the Trevayu lo bichru. Maybe over here, Rabbi Akiva says what he does, because both of them have not born animals before. So it's not clear yet who is the bechor. Avol achas bichru v'achas lo bichru. If you have a mother that it's now its first birth, and the other it's not its first birth. V'yoldu shnei zechorim, and two males were born. Ema modi le Rabbi Tarfon. I would have thought that Rabbi Akiva would concede to Rabbi Tarfon that the Kohen gets the better one, the Hachta Lo Bichra, the very top line of Yutes, the one that has not given birth to any children yet, Shaviach Tvei, that it is the best one. That is, it's like the first birth is always considered the best quality animal. Sricha, so therefore we need to teach that even in this case, Rabbi Akiva says that the Kohen does not take the best one. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.